through this week. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I'm going to read just a verse or two this morning, but I want to preach to us on the matter of prayer that works. Prayer that works. Now, God doesn't always answer prayer the way that we would like, but God always answers prayer. He has given us His Word. It's a biblical truth that prayer works. Now, there's a lot of misunderstandings about prayer. Sometimes we pray selfishly. In fact, He's addressed this earlier in James when He has said, you ask, you desire to have because you don't pray. And then He said, when you do pray, you ask amiss because you desire, you pray according to your own desires. It is a key to understanding prayer that we are to seek to pray according to the will of God. We'll see about that more in just a moment. But what is prayer? I want to just answer the basic questions about prayer, just in case there's someone who maybe, there's sort of two extremes. There's the oversimplification of prayer, that just basically any kind of impulse or feeling that I have about a situation is qualified as prayer. And it's good to feel for people, it's good to have sympathy for people, but that's not really prayer. Okay, sometimes I hear people say, well, I'm guilty of this. I'll say, I'm praying for you, and I intend to, but what it means is I'm thinking about you, I'm caring about you, when I think about you, I have sympathy for you. And all of that's good, but that's not really prayer. On the other hand, people take it way too far into it's some kind of mystical thing for only the people that have halos glowing around their head. And I'm looking around this morning, and I am not seeing any halos glowing around any of y'all's heads. And I looked in the mirror this morning first thing, and I did not see a halo. I saw a bedhead wrapped around all my head, but I didn't see a halo. And there's this idea that it's just for the super spiritual. It's just for the elite, the special forces of the Christian spiritual battle, and it's only for those. And really, very simply put, prayer is simply talking to God. It's conversation with God. I had a fellow that came up to me one time and he said, I really don't know how to pray. And I said, well, you know, you just talk to me, so I feel like you can talk to God. But his problem was he had this idea that prayer had to be structured and said with all this formal words, and he wasn't quite sure what to say. So prayer is just simply talking to God. Who can pray? Well, anyone can offer a prayer to God, but the Bible says that only those who are His children can come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 9, God hears not the prayer of sinners. So God hears any of His children pray. Now, an unbeliever can offer the prayer of repentance and the prayer for salvation, and God hears that prayer. But when we come to God, we come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ. We come to Him as His children. But the fact is, every Christian can pray. Everyone that is saved, everyone that is a child of God, can walk into the presence of God, can come spiritually into the presence of God. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the missionaries or the Sunday school teachers. It's not just for the saints. It is for every single believer. There are some places of ministry and service that there are requirements for. I mean, in order to serve playing the piano, you need to be able to play the piano. If you serve in the music ministry, you need to have generally some kind of musical ability, a gifting in that area. There's places in teaching that you need to have the gift of teaching. You also need to have some qualifications. There's spiritual qualifications for different roles. But when it comes to the ministry of prayer, every single member of this church, every single Christian here today has the privilege and the right and even the duty to come into the presence of God in prayer. Prayer is a ministry that is for every Christian. So God hears all of us. Where can I pray? You know the answer to this. Anywhere. Well, I thought you did. Only one person I heard in anywhere. You can pray anywhere. But wait a minute, Pastor, you don't have to come to the altar. No, but you need to come to the altar from time to time. Matter of fact, any time would be a good time. You don't even have to wait for the invitation. Do I have to pray in church? Do I have to pray when I have my Bible? No, at any time, in any place, anywhere, in any time, you can talk to God. Have you ever had to schedule an appointment with someone to get to talk to them? You schedule an appointment with your doctor. You schedule an appointment to get your car fixed. You schedule an appointment with the DMV. Good luck with that. We schedule appointments to be able to talk to people. But with God, I don't have to make an appointment anytime and anywhere. Now, be very careful with that. If you're riding down the road, feel free to pray with your eyes open, preferably on the road. There was a man I heard of years ago that got saved. A man, he was a fervent prayer, and they said he was praying all the time. Somebody saw him going down the road one day. He drove a large gas truck, and they said you could see him different times driving down the road, and he had one hand in the air, one hand on the wheel, and both eyes closed. I don't recommend that. It's not a good idea. But you can pray anytime and anywhere. How do I pray? To pray humbly. To come before God. I'm to treat it with respect. I'm to come. He's not just the man upstairs. He's not the good guy in the sky. He is God. We are to come to Him with reverence. We are to come to Him with humility. It can happen in any posture. You can pray standing up. You can pray sitting down. You can pray on your bed at night. The Bible talks about communing with God from your bed. You can certainly kneel, but there's places in the Bible where people fell on their face before God. Don't ever use the variety of postures to excuse not kneeling before God. Now, if you're physically not able to kneel, that's one thing. But a heart that is able to kneel but refuses to is a heart that's filled with pride. And so we humble ourselves before God, even if that means physically demonstrating humility. But what is prayer that works? Prayer that accomplishes things. I want to challenge us this morning, and I believe James challenges us so well with this. This is a passage that I've prayed over and God pointed me to because I feel like that prayer, I don't feel like, the Word of God is clear that we must be a people of prayer. It's great to have programs, it's great to have plans, it's great to have events. It's great to have means that we share the gospel. It's wonderful to have good music in a service. It's wonderful to have the preaching of the word. But apart from the Spirit of God at work in all of it, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And He will not come unless we are a people of prayer, calling out to God in prayer that works. I want you to look with me. I'm going to begin reading In verse 16, this entire passage is about prayer and speaking about prayer, but he says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." He's speaking there specifically of physical infirmity that is caused by sin. Not all physical infirmity is caused by sin, but in this particular case. I want you to notice this phrase, this last half of the verse is our text this morning. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. James is giving a general principle. Often in the Bible, there are principles that are given that are exclusive for that text, for that context. But here, James is giving a principle that is broadly true, but it is specifically applied in what he has just talked about in the person that prays for healing, the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith that saves the sick? The prayer of faith is praying according to the will of God and knowing what God desires in a moment and in a situation, and by faith claiming that to be so. So the prayer of faith will save the sick. Let me just say quickly that verse, we didn't read the verse, but the prayer of faith that will save the sick, very often in healing places and healing times, people will say, well, if you just had enough faith, that would have healed you. He did not say that the faith of the sick saved the sick. It's the prayer of faith, praying according to the will of God. And we understand it's not always God's will to heal. But when we know it to be true, we know that to be the case, and we pray accordingly. And so the prayer that is prayed here is a prayer that's powerful. So he takes this principle and he applies it to the situation. So we can take that principle and understand our prayer life in light of this principle. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Three things. Now, I've had something unusual happen today. I've never had anyone ask me to lengthen my sermon, but I was asked to stretch this from 3 points to 5 points. But they didn't pray according to the will of God, and so you're going to get just 3 points. And all the church said, see, I knew I would get an amen out of that. Can't get you to amen on how great and wonderful God is, but a shorter sermon, amen. It's still going to be the same length. They just wanted a longer one for some reason. Three things I want you to see here. First of all, prayer that works is prayer with purpose. You see that first word there? The effectual fervent prayer. Effectual. The effectual prayer is one that is strategic. It's purposeful. It has reason. How do I pray with purpose? I pray with purpose when I pray according to the will and purpose of God. Over in the little epistle of Jude, just a few pages over, you don't have to turn there, but right before you get to Revelation, Jude talks about, he says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, praying in the Holy Ghost is not praying in a way that's not understandable. It is not praying in gibberish. It is praying guided by the Spirit of God, praying according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. "And we know that whatsoever we ask according to His will, He hears us." Praying purposefully is seeking to know the will of God. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure what the will of God is in this. I'm not sure how to pray according to that. That's why God begins to work in us. Just as when we seek to know God's will. Do you remember the first step to knowing God's will? I seek as much as possible to have no will of my own in the matter. It should be true also when we pray. And so when we come to God in prayer, the first part is for me to know the will of God, for me to seek the purpose of God. God, how would you have me to pray about this? And I discover that how? By praying. I start off praying, and sometimes I say, "God, I don't really know how to pray about this situation. I don't know the best way. I don't know what it is. But here's what I'm asking for." And God doesn't just work through our prayers to change what we're praying about. He works through our prayers to change us. Many of you have experienced that. You began to pray about a situation, and at first you prayed for a specific thing, but then as God began to work in your heart and mind, and you begin to understand, this is what the, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's praying with purpose, praying with will. In fact, their problem was that they were praying back in chapter 4 according to their own lusts. Our purpose in prayer is not so much about getting our will done in heaven as it is getting God's will done on earth. It's not to sway God over to my point of view. Prayer is about getting God's will done on earth. Someone has described it as a boat dock in a boat. And our task in prayer is to bring the boat alongside the dock, to be alongside God's will. And they said that prayer is the boat hook that pulls the boat into line with the dock. It pulls my will into line with God's will. You see, we treat prayer like some cosmic spiritual vending machine. I just go and I pop the prayer quarters in and I say my prayers, and God is obligated to spit out what I've asked for. I pushed E6 and I'm going to get that sticky bun. I prayed my prayer and I said amen and in Jesus' name at the end of it, and God is obligated to give me what I prayed for. Prayer is about God's work and changing us. It's about us knowing God's will. Effectual prayer. When Elijah prayed, as we'll see in just a moment, for it not to rain, he was praying according to what God had already told him, that this was going to take place. And he prays, and God worked through his prayer. It's a great story of a Russian prisoner who was in Siberia, in one of the camps. One day, as he was noticed to be praying, he was a Christian, and he was noticed to be praying, he had his eyes closed, and one of the fellow prisoners who was an atheist and an unbeliever, and he looked at this man and he mocked and he said, "Look," he said, "prayers aren't going to help you get out of here any faster." The Christian opened his eyes and he answered and he said, I don't pray to get out of prison. I pray to do God's will while I'm in prison. It's about seeking God's will. We just prayed the words just a moment ago. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? It is done perfectly in heaven. And so our prayers are to be according to the will of God. I love what the great Baptist evangelist Vance Havner said about this. He said, prayer may not get us what we want, but it will teach us to want what we should. It changes us. So the prayer that works is, first of all, a prayer with purpose. But then notice the second word that he uses here. It is a prayer with passion. I fear that our prayers, mine included from time to time, way too often, are way too tepid. They're way too tame. They lack fervency and urgency. But he says the effectual, fervent prayer. It's the idea, it's the word, the root word of fervent is energy. It has passion to it. Do you put your heart into your prayers? Is your heart, are your prayers heartfelt? Charles Spurgeon said, only prayer that comes from the heart can get to God's heart. And I'm glad that he, when I pray, doesn't always listen to my words. He hears my heart. Have you ever prayed and you got the words all jumbled up? Let me tell you something. I know we, around church life, sometimes we joke about things, but I've heard people pray publicly, and they, every other phrase, use the same phrase. Our dear Heavenly Father, our dear Heavenly Father, and they would say it over and over. And sometimes people will joke about that. I would rather hear a prayer laced with our dear Heavenly Father's that comes from the heart than one perfectly eloquent without any heart at all. It's not the words that come out of our mouths. It's the fervency of our heart. John Bunyan said in prayer, it is better to have heart without words than words without heart. There are times we come to God and we just don't even know what to say. We can't get the words out. He hears our hearts. The Spirit makes intercession, the Bible says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Cannot be uttered means cannot be spoken. I don't know that I fully understand all that that involves, but I do believe that it means that when I'm trying to speak or whether I can speak at all, God hears my heart. How do we pray with passion? Well, it starts with faith. It starts with believing God. You won't be passion apart from faith. Fervency apart from faith is empty. It is nothing more than enthusiasm and excitement. But when it is rooted and based in a trust and in a belief that God will do what He said He would do. Ephesians 3:20, the biggest promise in the Bible. Now unto Him that is able to do all that we ask or think. If that was the promise in Ephesians 3:20, that would be an amazing promise. God is able to do all that we ask, that's prayer, or think. But He doesn't say that. Now unto Him that is able to do above all that we ask or think. Boy, what a promise that is. Not only is God able to do all that I can ask or think, He can go beyond that. But that's not what the promise is either. Now unto Him that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. So here's my asking and thinking. Here's me. Here's God above that. He's not just above that. He's abundantly above that. What a promise. But that's not the full promise either. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's the God that we're praying to. Do you believe that God is able to work in the situation that you're burdened about? Do you believe that there's any care or any task or any burden or any concern or any worry that is too big for our God? Do we believe that He is able? So it starts with faith. You'll never pray fervently apart from praying with faith. But it starts with faith that begins to stir feelings. Now, I'm glad that my faith, my walk with God and my relationship with God is not based on my feelings, because there's some days that I wake up and I just don't have the feelings. There's sometimes we walk into church and we just don't have the feelings. There's sometimes throughout our days we don't, but I am glad that there can be a fervency in my conversation with God. There can be a fervency in my prayer life. How passionately do you want what you're praying for? How passionately do you want God to work in what you're praying about? How passionately do you want to see that lost family member saved? How passionately do you want to see that wayward child restored? How passionately, how fervently do we pray and want revival? I fear that many of our prayers are just passionless. There's a great old story about a young man that came to one of the Greek philosophers, and the man was down by the river, and he said, "Sir, I want wisdom. How can you help me? I want to learn from you. I want to have wisdom." And so the man invited him down into the river, and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want wisdom." And so he grabbed the man by the shoulders, the young man, and he held him down under the water. And he held him down for a little bit, and he pulled him up, and he said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want wisdom." And so he grabbed him again, and he held him down under the water a little longer this time. And he held him, and he held him, and he pulled him back up. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want wisdom." He grabbed him one more time, and he held him down under the water till the bubbles stopped coming up. And he pulled him up out of the water, and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "Air. I want air." And the philosopher said, "Son, when you want wisdom as desperately as you want air, then you'll be able to find wisdom." And I want to say to us that when we desire and when we pray fervently and we have a sense of urgency and when we seek God as much as that young man sought air and when we seek to know His will as much as He wants to reveal it to us, then God will hear and answer our prayers. You say, "Well, there's times that I don't feel that fervency." What happens when the passion dies? What happens when the feelings are gone? What happens when my faith grows weak? And maybe this morning that's exactly where you are. Maybe it's something that you've prayed about. I have found that, as with all passions and all feelings in our life, it goes in waves. It ebbs and it flows, and there's peaks and there's valleys, and there's high points and there's low points. What do we do? Prayer that is passionate, prayer that is fervent, stays through faithfulness. How committed are you to seeing it through? How committed are you to praying even when you don't feel like praying? Does God command us to pray? Prayerlessness is a sin. Samuel said to Saul, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." If God calls us and commands us to pray, but I don't feel like I understand how to pray, or I don't feel like praying, what can I do? I can come to Him and I can tell Him that. My very prayer can be, "God, I don't feel like praying." Do you think it's going to surprise God, or do you think He already knew it already? You think it's going to offend Him? He knows where we are. And there's times where I can say, "God, if this is what God wants me to do, and I'm over here where I feel like I can't do it, or I don't know that I can do it, or I don't understand how to do it, if I ask Him for His help, do you think He's going to hear that prayer?" The answer is yes. He's going to hear that prayer, and He is going to enable me to do that. And so I pray on. When my feelings are gone and when my faith grows weak, I keep on praying. Luke 18:1, Jesus taught a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we pray with purpose, the effectual prayer. We pray with passion. It's a fervent prayer. But this prayer that works is a prayer with power. Do you see the little phrase there? It avails much. There is great power in prayer. I love the story of the small town that had been traditionally a dry town, and a local businessman decided to build a tavern, and some of the Christians in the town got a little concerned about that, and so they planned an all-night prayer meeting and asked God to intervene. Shortly after this prayer meeting, a storm came through town, and lightning struck the building that was going to be used, and the building burned to the ground. So the owner decided to sue the church. And the church got a lawyer to try to argue that they were not responsible. And so they presented their case in court, both sides. And after hearing the preliminary case, the judge gave his answer. And he said, however this case comes out, there's one thing that's true. This tavern owner believes in prayer, but the church does not. The power of prayer. Do you believe that prayer has power? Does God answer prayer? He says it avails much. Mary, Queen of Scots, said about the reformer John Knox, she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than an army of 10,000 men. That's power in prayer. Thomas Lye said, I had rather stand against the cannons of the wicked than against the prayers of the righteous. E.M. Bounds, the great writer of prayer that I commend to you if you want to read concerning prayer. He's one of the great writers. What the church needs more is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use. People of prayer, people mighty in prayer. That's what we need. We need believers who will engage in prayer. Prayer is a spiritual work. It is not natural to this flesh. This flesh does not like prayer, but the Holy Spirit of God is the one that draws His people, and He calls us to prayer. He's the one that moves us to pray. He's the one that brings us together in our times of prayer, whether it's on Sunday night or other times when we have special times of prayer. It is the Spirit that draws us. And He's the one that moves and works in us. It is part of spiritual warfare. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. And when you've got it on, what does He say? Put it on with prayer. And when you have it on, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is what we need. We are in a spiritual battle and we're coasting along. The church is not a cruise ship. The church is a battleship. And every member has a part to play. And part of our warfare and part of our artillery is the power of prayer that God calls us to. And He says the effectual, fervent prayer avails much. And then He gives an illustration in verses 17 and 18. He says the prophet Elijah was a man of subject to like passions just like us. He was no different from the rest of us. You can't look at Elijah's life and say, well, that's Elijah. But I'm me. He was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed how? Earnestly, that it might not rain. God had said, Elijah, I'm going to send a drought. And Elijah prays that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for a time of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He gives this biblical illustration of someone that we would look at and say, he's a prophet. Of course he can pray. He says he was a man of like passions just like us. He was no different from us. And in fact, Elijah had the power of the Spirit from time to time. We live and walk and breathe in the power of the Holy Spirit of God who works in us to cause us to pray. And there's power in that prayer. You remember how he prayed the second time? He prayed the second time for rain after he had just prayed one of the most significant prayers of his life with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And they gather together and they call out to their God. and they cut themselves and they pray for hours and there's nothing that happens. And Elijah stands back and he says, maybe he's busy. Maybe he's on a trip. He could have said, maybe he doesn't exist, because he didn't. And when they got through, he says, clear the altar. And he dug the trench around it. He does everything he can to make that altar and that offering as inflammable as possible. He saturates it with water in a drought. And then he lifts his head to God and he prays a brief prayer that probably took less than 2 minutes to pray. He didn't say amen. He didn't say in Jesus' name. And someone said that he didn't say amen because if he had stopped to say amen, the fire might have singed his eyebrows coming down. Why? Because God answered that prayer. And it was following that prayer that he prayed and God sent the rain. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And God answered that prayer. God called Elijah to pray according to his purpose about rain and not raining and national events. He calls us to pray about the needs of our heart. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace when in time of need. What is your time of need? What's the burden that you're carrying in your heart? We don't need to learn more about prayer, I'm convinced. It's good to learn more about prayer. I love quotes about prayer. I love conferences. I've heard preaching and teaching on prayer. I've read books about prayer. But most of us don't need to know more about it. We just need to get off the bench and get in the game. We just need to pray. How do we respond? First of all, confess your prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is sin. God, I've not been praying like I ought. I've not prayed about this situation. I've not prayed for our church like I ought. Commit to pray. Maybe this morning you need to come and confess, and then you need to commit. God, by your grace, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray daily, fervently. I'm going to pray purposefully for my loved one. I'm going to pray for their salvation. I'm going to pray about this need. And then you just simply call out to him in prayer. You can do that this morning. You can come and kneel at this altar, stand at this altar, and you can confess to God, God, I've not prayed like I should. You can commit, God, by your grace, I am going to be a prayer. And then you can call out to him, no matter what the need is, no matter what the burden is in your heart, you can bring it to him. Will you seek the Lord? Seek the Lord, and he will be found. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. May your people respond.